Good morning. That's from me. I know everybody's already come. People come up, a string of people come up and say, good morning, good morning. So I want to remind you, some of you were alive in 1976, and you will remember a song by Gordon Lightfoot called The Edmund Fitzgerald. And there's a part of those lyrics that go, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? That's like a prayer of lament, but it's not a prayer. It's a questioning. Where did the love of God go? Well, that was because 29 crewmen had died in a ship that went down in Lake Superior in 1975. And that was a popular song about that. It's really common for us to question, where did the love of God go? When a tragedy happens or when something in our life happens, it's very disappointing. The good news is you can take your disappointment, your questions, your confusion to God directly. Prayers of lament. Prayers of lament are prayers out of our pain that lead us to a place of trust in God. God is good. He's in control, and life can be really hard. All of those things are true. I'll tell you how I decided to bring this message today. I was sitting back in this part of the sanctuary here because I lead the prayer meeting for pastors and ministry leaders on Thursday mornings, and we were praying about some serious things, a person who'd gotten dementia, who'd become angry and hard to live with. And someone had just, we learned, had been sexually abused. And it was a heavy meeting. At the end of the meeting, you know, we went away kind of with this heaviness on our heart. And I wondered if there's something I could have done in the prayer meeting in leading it that would have maybe handled that situation better. And so everyone went away so heavy. And I realized, prayers of lament. And I began to look into Psalm 13, which is one of many prayers of lament. Actually, there's at least 40 some in the Psalms, and some people would say half the Psalms have at least an element of prayers of lament. Prayers out of our pain that lead to a place of trust in God. And my wife and I have had plenty of chance this past year, to pray prayers of lament. As I lost my voice and couldn't do public speaking for 3 months, and she began to have partial seizures and lost memories, and so we've been doing lots of crying out to God. I have a simple outline for you based on Psalm 13 and based on prayers of lament, and it's called CPR, spiritual CPR. C stands for complain. That's right, to God. That's what we're going to see David doing. Complain is C. P is pray, and R is make your request, and R is rely on God. That's the end product of a prayer of lament. Okay, so, see, we have this tendency to bypass uncomfortable emotions and not process them and just say, well, you should trust God. But we see a different model here, actually taking our stuff to Him directly and honestly, pouring out our heart to God. My wife and I took our grandkids to a fire department demonstration here in Lebanon, and they showed a simulated fire where there was smoke. They had a building, and they talked us through how they fight a fire. And one of the things that they said was, as someone was chopping with an axe on the roof, people ask them, why do you do that? Why don't you just get to putting the fire out? What is this waste of time? And he said, sometimes you need to clear the smoke in order to see what's going on. And that's true for our lives as well. Sometimes before we come to a place where I just have this trust in God, I got to clear the smoke. I got to be honest about what I'm actually feeling and experiencing and take that to God and go through that process to come to a place where I trust Him. And that's what David does here in Psalm 13. I want you to notice two things about it. The brutal honesty of David before God, and where he goes from there. After he's brutally honest with God, then what happens? Psalm 13. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? That's the complaint. Here comes the request, the prayer. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And here comes the rely part. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So we start with the complaint. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Why is he so bothered? It seems to him like God's not even interested in his situation. You ever felt that way? Heaven keeps putting him on hold. That's his experience. That's his perception of it. His enemies and his circumstances that he was facing seemed like a huge threat to him. Not only that, but his own feelings within him were distressing to him. I suspect what was going on in David's life. This psalm doesn't tell us, many do, what the circumstances are. But David was on the run for approximately 10 years from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. That's hard to go through. You got the king of the nation trying to take you out, and you're hiding and on the run for 10 years. I suspect that's what David's going through here as he wrote this. We don't know for sure. Because of the experiences of your life, do you ever think, this isn't what I signed up for? What is this about? This makes no sense. How can God be good and allow this in my life or not do this? Some of you have heard of Huntington's disease. It's a rare inherited neurological disease that causes a progressive breakdown in nerve cells, and people get angrier and harder, more violent over time. And I pastored a couple where he got Huntington's disease. It does kill you. And typically, the symptoms show up in your 40s. And here's this family with a child, and eventually this happens, and he gets Huntington's and goes through this process. They can't live with him anymore. He gets angry and violent. And you got to ask, these are people that love the Lord. What's going on? God, how can you be loving and allow something like this? Do you ever feel forgotten by God like David did? Well, David expressed it to him, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. Three times in verse 1, we see the words, how long, how long, how long. And then two more times in verse 2, how long, how long? Back in verse 1 again, forever? Isn't waiting difficult to do? Do you like waiting? I used to make homemade macaroni and cheese for my kids. They liked it. I liked it. It was good. But at some point, I forgot how to do it. I made a goof in the order of things. You're supposed to put the butter and the flour in and mix that up first before you add the milk and then the cheese. And I forgot to put the flour in there early, so I would just add the flour after I added the milk. Some of you are laughing. You know what happens. So sometimes it would take more than an hour of me stirring. I had to stand there and stir the whole time, or it would scald the bottom of the pot, right? And so my wife and I said, man, this takes a long time. And sometimes I would just, well, that's good enough, even though it wasn't really thickening up, just a tiny bit. Say, well, that's good enough. I've done this for over an hour. Let's cut it short. My wife had sympathy for me, and she bought me a battery-powered stirring thing that you could just set in there. And it would go around and stir. But just like I was tempted to quit before the thickening process had completed, we are tempted to quit on God before His character work is completed in us in times of waiting. Was God taking too long in David's case? No. Had God forgotten David? No, but that's how it felt to David. And so he told God that. And that's okay. You might say, no, don't say that. God's timing is perfect. You shouldn't pray that way. You can't be unhappy with what God's doing. No. Well, that's true that God is perfect and God's timing is perfect. We also have feelings that we can take to God about what's going on. It may seem like blasphemy to do that. It does to me, kind of like, you can't do that. After all, Job was commended because he didn't charge God with wrongdoing when he had one of the most massive losses in history. He was commended for not charging God with wrongdoing. And Jeremiah was told to repent because he accused God of tricking him, deceiving him. And God said, you need to repent of that. So it can cross a line into unbelief. So what's the difference between a prayer of lament and a complaint that is sin? Well, the difference is, for one, the prayer of lament is an act of faith because we're going to God about our troubles. That in itself is an act of faith. I'm taking my distress about Him to Him. Whereas the sinful kind doesn't lead to trust in the end. It leads to us walking away from God. Did you know that Jesus Himself cried out on the cross, quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said that. In Psalm 142, verse 2, I think we have that one. Do we have Psalm 142, 2? Do we have that in there? Yeah. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. So even though Paul says do everything without arguing, complaining, he's talking about with people, you can take your complaint to God as an act of faith, actually. Do you ever do it? Do you feel the freedom to be honest about what you're feeling before God? Or is this a new practice maybe that you can incorporate that will help you process things and lead you to a more complete place of trust in Him in the end? I had a conversation with someone recently, and this person was very distressed about her work situation. I won't go into the details of why she was distressed, but I could tell she was distressed, and she said something like, but where's my faith? And she said, there's a person that I know that's going through much worse stuff than I am. I shouldn't feel bad. But I could tell she was distressed. And I just said something like, you know, but this really bothers you, doesn't it? And she started crying. She just needed to be heard, and she needed to affirm, yeah, actually, I am troubled. It didn't work to say, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Come on, snap out of it. It didn't work to compare herself with other people and say, they're worse, I shouldn't feel the way I feel. It didn't work. As long as she was in that place, she was going to be stuck there. She wasn't going to work through things. Now, it is good to thank God for our situation, and we say, yeah, this isn't as bad as I often. I get this complaining spirit, and I want to combat that by thanking him. That's great. But when we are in the midst of feeling disappointment or sorrow, it doesn't work to talk yourself out of it. What does work is to take it to God and process it with him. Not that we can't take it to people and process it with them. That's healthy too. So I'm really learning in my life, because I have a long history of, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. It doesn't work. I do feel that way. And I can tell God about it. And then we can go through that process and come to a place of trust. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you're an immature Christian if you have struggles. I love the kind of the mental health saying that's out there. It's okay not to be okay. We're all there at times. And we can be honest about it. Now, there's a book by, I'm not sure if I pronounced his last name right, Mark Vrogop, Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy. It's a Christian book. This is a pastor who's, they lost a baby, stillbirth. And, of course, that was devastating for them. And then she learned of a new pregnancy and was very excited and went to the doctor to confirm it and found out it was a false pregnancy. Sitting in the car after that doctor's appointment, her husband said, could you pray? And she prayed this, I know you're not mean, but it feels like it today. That's a prayer of lament. Now for the prayer part. So he's made his complaint. Next thing is to pray his request. When you call a business or a government agency, have you ever heard this message? Your call is important to us. Have you ever heard this one? Maybe every time. We are receiving an unusually high volume of calls at this time. And I'm saying, that's what you said 10 times. You've said that 10 times in a row. I've called different days of the week. And as you're on the phone and the minutes are adding up, maybe the hours are adding up and you're on hold, finally someone comes on and you can't understand their English. Or you get a recording that says, if you need this, press 1. If you need that, press 2. If you need this, press 3. If you need that, press 4. And you're going, none of those things are why I'm calling. And there's just a loop, and there's no way out of that loop. There's no way. I need to talk to a human, please. Now, the reason I bring this up, God doesn't just say he cares about your call. He does care about your call. So when you call on him, you know that he cares. Even if you feel like David did, that I'm not getting an answer here. He cares, and he knows, and he has the power to do something about it. So here's verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemies will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. He's worried about getting killed. Yeah. And as he gets killed, his enemies are going to celebrate. Yeah. And he doesn't want that. And that's his request. Don't let this happen. So he addresses, Lord my God. He's bringing his complaints or concerns and requests and sorrows to the one who can do something about it. Jehovah, my Elohim. Elohim meaning, or Jehovah meaning the God of promise, and Elohim meaning the God of power. The God of promise and the God of power is who we bring our requests to. There was this heavy bronze bell that is sunk to the bottom of a river in China, and engineers could not figure out a way to get it up. off the bottom, this heavy bronze bell. And so there was this monk who said, if I can figure out a way to get that thing up, can I put it in my temple? And they agreed. And so what he did was he got divers and he collected bamboo poles, thousands of them. The divers went down, and after thousands of bamboo poles — bamboo is very light, hollow, and unsinkable — after thousands of bamboo poles were attached to this bell, it began to come up to the surface. And it reminds me of prayer. That's not the first solution people would have thought of. Oh yes, of course, bamboo poles, go down there and tie them to this bell. Often prayer is not the first solution that we think of, but it's powerful and effective. And the supernatural power of God can change circumstances if that's what's needed. But you know what God often does? He changes us. And that's what happened with David. He changed David when David prayed. Well, he also didn't have him die. Saul did not kill him. So his prayer was answered that way. So we have the complaint, C, we have the prayer, P, and now we have the R, rely. Another word for trust. But CPT didn't work nearly as well as CPR, so I did rely instead of trust. Here it is, verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Did anything change in David's situation that we know of? Is Saul dead now? Did they get some new fancy weapon? Nothing. Nothing changed about his circumstances, but grasping the fact that God hasn't changed, changed David. Grasping the fact that God hasn't changed, changed David, and it can change you. I was driving to preach in Logsdon, Oregon, a while back. Logsdon is near Siletz, which is near Toledo, which is near Newport, which is near the Pacific Ocean. And if you don't know where those places are, welcome to Oregon. It was foggy, and really foggy. It was like you could not see beyond the side of the road. I couldn't see the trees. And I'm driving along, and then I go across I-5 on 34, and it opens up, and it's suddenly bright and sunny. It's beautiful. I'm going, wow, look at those trees. They're just gorgeous. And the sun, the sky, this is just great. And they got foggy again, and they got sunny again. You know, been through that thick fog that just comes and goes as you're moving along. And it reminds me what happened to David here. It's like David has known the goodness of God. David has trusted God. But the circumstances were on him, and it was like fog coming and blocking his view of God. And then he reminded himself, and he went through this process, actually, of complaining, praying, and reminding himself that God's trustworthy, and the fog lifted. And now he's seeing God for who he is. I trust in your unfailing love, he says. Now, we got to be careful with that term, unfailing love, because sometimes what God does or doesn't do doesn't seem like unfailing love. If you haven't experienced that, you're probably not very old. Why is this? Why the discrepancy? Why do we sometimes feel like that's not unfailing love, God? Because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. They're higher than ours, Isaiah says. So we need to be convinced ahead of time that God is trustworthy, and know that there will be times when it feels like he's not. Such is life in this fallen world. So when we say His love never fails, and we sing songs like that. Just be careful to know that our idea of what God's love is and what His idea of it aren't always the same. You know, I have a friend that whose daughter was in a custody battle. She cried out to God, and her daughter did not get custody of her child. I have someone else that came to me about someone close to her saying all she wants in life is to have a baby, and she's getting older, and this is her desire, is to be a mother, and it's not happening. And as far as I know, it never did happen. To those people, it felt like God wasn't faithful or loving or trustworthy, but He is. They can take it to Him and work through it and process it with Him. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Now, when we talk about salvation, normally in the Old Testament, that word means deliverance. Typically deliverance like you saved my life physically. So don't think of salvation when you see it in the Psalms normally as spiritual salvation. It's usually meaning deliverance from danger. So, but my heart rejoices in your salvation. But by the way, your heart can rejoice in your spiritual salvation. That's a really good thing. You can do that. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. What a transition He's gone through in this short little psalm, huh? He started with his complaint about how long, and now he's saying, I'm singing because you deliver me. You've been good. He's been faithful before. He's going to be faithful again. Think of a time when you were very confident in God. You experienced something. You said, wow, what a great God I serve. It's like, whoa, man, this God is great. This God's really good. I love Him. God hasn't changed. I changed. I'm going through things that have cause fog to come across in front of my face, and I can't see Him as I did once see Him at times. But He hasn't changed. I changed. David expresses something similar in another psalm, Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's Psalm 27, 13 and 14. So I want to challenge you this morning. I'm giving you a new tool maybe. Maybe it's an old tool for a few of you, but I'm guessing it's a new tool for most of you. Spiritual CPR. When you're distressed, when you're in pain, when you're confused, you're hurting, try spiritual CPR. See, make your complaint before God. That could look like David's words. How long will you forget me forever? Or might be your words. What's with this? You know? Where are you? I'm convinced a lot of people walk away from God because they don't feel the freedom to do that. Okay? And then P is pray. Pray your request. And R is rely. Come to a place where I'm trusting in His goodness. So before we close, I just want to mention, I forgot to tell you who I am. I've been here several times, but I know you've had not a church merger, but I know a lot of people came over from New Beginnings, and I've spoke there, but it's been a long time. So I'm Ed Skipper. My ministry is Heart of Revival, and it is proclaiming God's Word in various churches and to Teen Challenge students. It is supporting spiritual leaders. That's primarily pastors, after pastoring churches for 21 years, and grief and loss education. So I am available for free to educate people about grief and loss. This prayer of lament is actually part of that. That's one of the things we can process grief with, is prayers of lament. So this week I got to be with a business and do some training for them on grief and loss. They hadn't even had a big loss. They just wanted that. That's great. Usually, though, there's been a loss. People are thinking about it. They want help. I love doing that, whether it's a Christian organization or a secular organization. I'll do either, schools, whatever. So if you hear of something, this little card is a little card you can pick up so you can know how to contact me. This is my bookmark for my ministry in general. Also has my contact information. So I just want to let you know about that. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this precious gift that we can pour out our hearts to God, and it's welcome. I pray this week it would happen. I know there's hurting people right now. There's got to be this many people here. Thank you that you've given us this gift of being able to be honest with you about how we're feeling, and that you can lead us through a process where we come to a place of trusting in your goodness. Thank you. May we utilize it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.